Heyo, welcome back everyone to the Chaos Ball Podcast. It's the last divisional preview, the last one before the official Seattle Mariners preview, and then the season is here. We're so close. We're like a week away from the season technically starting in Korea with the Dodgers and the Pods, but the broader MLB season does not start for a couple weeks, and next week will be, of course, it'll be the Mariners preview, which should come out a week before their opening day, and I'm looking forward to it. I already started doing some stuff for that, but without further ado, this is the AL East preview. I saved this division for last. Somehow, still, Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell are unsigned as of my recording, and Dylan Cease was just traded to the Padres, so that was also like a sneaky, like, oh, I don't know, maybe the Red Sox might trade for Dylan Cease. No, they did not. The Padres just did. So still no major pitching additions from this division. I just have to think, especially the news about Gerrit Cole just came out a couple days ago, and he's going to miss like a month or two to open the season for the Yankees, and could still potentially have season-ending elbow surgery. I think he's getting evaluated still, doing more tests. You gotta think either they were going to trade for Dylan Cease, which they aren't now. They're going to trade for what? Who's available? Shane Bieber? Or they're going to play? They're going to pay Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery. You gotta think they're going to acquire another pitcher. I don't think they're going to roll into the season Gerrit Cole-less and without another frontline starter. I mean, they have Stroman and Rodon and Nestor Cortez at the moment. I think they could have, even without the Cole news, I think the Yankees probably could have used another pitcher, but now it's looking even more dire for their pitching staff that they might need to throw some money at one of those two guys who are still available. So maybe it'll happen as I'm recording. You know, that would be pretty fun. But as of right now, these teams are still unchanged, largely, as they have been most of spring training, but I will not dilly-dally any longer. There's plenty to talk about with this division, probably the best division in baseball again, but even more so this year. I think each of these teams has, well, maybe not the Red Sox, but the other ones have probably at least stayed the same or gotten better. I think the Red Sox probably stayed the same, at least from last year. Maybe they're getting better with some upside hope there, but I will start with the Red Sox. The Red Sox are projected to get last place in this division. They're projected to be an 80-ish win team, 79 and 83 per Pecota and 80 and 82 for Fangraphs. They went 78 and 84 last year with an 81 and 81 Pythagorean record, and that is right on line with what most people thought they were going to do and what I thought they were going to do going into the year. I thought they were just going to be a fairly mediocre team in a bad, or not in a bad division, well, in a really good division. And they didn't change much in the offseason. I mean, they lost like free agents. Like Justin Turner was pretty solid for them last year. They lost James Paxton. He was good when he pitched. Like Richard Blyer out of the bullpen. Adam Duvall was a monster for a couple weeks before getting hurt. And then they traded Alex Verdugo away to the Yankees for some pitching. They traded Chris Sale to the Braves for Vaughn Grissom. They traded Luis Urias to the Mariners for Isaiah Campbell, a relief pitcher. They definitely acquired more pitching this year. I think at least they probably addressed the innings that they lost last year. They also signed Lucas Giolito and Liam Hendricks. Lucas Giolito just had surgery, so there's that. He was their big free agent signing this year, and they gave him like a decent amount of money. I was kind of surprised at how much money they gave Lucas Giolito, but that is a moot point at the moment because he is hurt. He is hurt. And I don't know. This team is good. Like, this is a good baseball team that probably has a ceiling of mid-80 wins just in a really tough division. So it's hard to pick them to do much with this team and come out of this division at all, because I think the four other teams in this division are better, on paper at least. They're better than the Red Sox. But you plop the Red Sox down in the AL Central, and they'd have a much better chance of making the playoffs. I mean, that's not a crazy take. It's just, it's wild they didn't try to improve more than they did. They had kind of a weird offseason. They hire Chaim Bloom to run the team similar to the Rays. They have him set up an infrastructure that is clearly working. Like, their farm system is ranked 8th in the league according to Keith Law, and they've graduated a couple guys from that. You see like Tristan Casas and even like Jaron Duran at the big league level contributing to this team, like Brian Bayo, and then you have Marcelo Meyer, and like they just drafted Kyle Teal. They have plenty of young talent on this team, and then they fire Chaim Bloom, and then they hire Craig Breslow to go full throttle this offseason, and it's been pretty throttle-less, if you ask me. This has not been a very full throttle offseason, especially with the pitching that's available and the lack of top-end pitching that this team currently has. Because the lineup is fun, and I'll start with the lineup. What Fangraphs thinks their opening day lineup is going to look like is Jaron Duran leading off in right field, Rafael Devers at third base, Trevor Story at shortstop, Tristan Casas at first base, Masataka Yoshida at DH, Tyler O'Neill in left field, Sedan, Rafaela in center field, Emmanuel Valdez at second base, and Connor Wong at catcher. And that's a pretty good-looking offense. Like, I think this is going to be an above-average offense. Again, they were a good offense last year. I love Rafi Devers as just your anchor in this offense. He rakes. I'm a big fan. His defense has come a long way at third base from where it once was as a prospect. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's a great defender yet, but it was so bad that he's got it closer to just being average, and that's an absolute huge win. And then Tristan Casas, I guess, is the other guy I think is just going to anchor this lineup. He had such a good campaign last year as a rookie, and he just looks like an absolute boon for this Red Sox team for a long time. Like, he put up 129 WRC plus in 132 games last year, 24 home runs, like really, really insane raw power on this guy, like 40 home run ceiling for sure as a first baseman with him. Defense, I don't think he's very good defensively, but it's first base. You know what he's going to do. And I really like how much he gets on base. Like, his approach at the plate, too, I think was so mature last year, at least from what I noticed. Like, he walked almost 14% of the time, struck out around league average 25%, and hit 24 home runs in 132 games. That is a really good production from a rookie first baseman. That is exactly what you want. And as a lefty in Fenway, it's a great place to hit. Not necessarily home runs, but just in terms of hitting in general, it's a fantastic place to hit for especially left-handed hitters. So I think Casas is going to be a really good player for them long term. I think he's going to have a huge year in this lineup. And like him and Devers, the big lefty bats in this lineup will probably do a lot of damage this year. At the top of it, with Jaron Duran, I like Jaron Duran. I like moving him out of center field now with right field. I don't know if he was exactly a great center fielder. It's good that he can play out there, but I think right field is a little bit better for raising his defensive floor, at least. And offensively, he had a really solid season. Another lefty who is not especially powerful, but it really plays to Fenway because he sprays the ball around a lot, and it's just a big ballpark. And he has, you know, home run, like enough power to get into 15, maybe 15, 20 dingers. I don't know if a 20 might be the top end for him. He doesn't have a whole lot of power, but he really sprays the ball around. He's super fast, and he had a really solid year last year for this team. I think he's going to provide a lot of value on the base paths and just at the top of the lineup hitting leadoff. So I like Jaron Duran. Trevor Story, I got nothing for you. I have no clue what he's going to give you after he came back last year. He's had some weird injuries. He he signed with this team, and then he couldn't really throw the ball, like throw the baseball. So you can't really play shortstop if you can't throw the baseball. But seemingly he can throw the baseball now because he's probably going to start at shortstop on opening day. But then you have Vaughn Grissom looming. They traded for him. I'm not super high on Vaughn Grissom, but I'm assuming he'll get some reps this year at shortstop, because I don't know if I trust Story to both stay healthy and produce. I mean, it was such a small sample the last 2 years, but the offensive sample is not good. And I guess you could convince yourself he was hurt and that's why, but I just don't know if I believe in Trevor Story at this point. in his career. But I don't know. I have like no prediction on him this year. Fangraphs thinks he's probably going to be a league average-ish player, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I'm intrigued to see what the shortstop defense is like, because if he's back to being in like a very solid, at least defensive option, and is a right-handed hitter in Fenway, just binking him off the wall, getting on base a decent amount, that's not a bad player, like a 2-3 win player. It's not exactly what they paid for, but I think you just want Trevor Story to play games. I think that's step number one in the right direction. And then Masataka Yoshida, who his defensive ability was the talk of the signing after him. I don't think there was any question about if he could hit, and he proved he can definitely hit in the major leagues, but defensive wise, not good. So getting Tyler O'Neill in a trade, or in a trade, did they trade for Tyler O'Neill? Yeah, they did. And pushing, like getting Sedan Rafael up to center field, pushing Yoshida to the DH, I think is best case for him, where he can just focus on hitting. I think he's a really good hitter. Again, especially just in this ballpark, plays really well, really good contact ability. Love the approach. I really like Masataka Yoshida. And especially now that he's just going to DH, I think it's going to be best case for him long term. And then the back of this lineup is where it gets a little shaky. Like, I don't know what you're going to get out of Rafaela offensively. Defensively, he looks like he could be one of the better center fielders in the league, and that is really important in Fenway in such a wonky, large center field that is available to him. So I think that's going to really help the defensive numbers of this team, because they were so bad last year, like far and away the worst defensive team in the league. It wasn't even close, really, by most metrics. They were so bad. So that's, he's going to help. And I don't know offensively where he's at. I don't think he has a whole lot of like upside offensively besides like, I don't know, like league average, which league average offense with elite center field defense is still a good player. But yeah, I don't know. And then Emmanuel Valdez, a second baseman who I don't know like a whole lot about. I think he's profiles as a power hitting second baseman with not very good defense, with upside of like, I think 55 grade raw power. So I offense first second baseman who has, I don't know. I don't really know much about him. I think there's upside of good offense from the second base position. He played a little bit for them last year, 49 games after getting called up, and he was like fine. He was fine offensively. So I think you hope just there's not a whole lot of pressure on him at the back of the lineup to produce, and you just hope he can hit some home runs, maybe walk a little bit more. He had a pretty good walk rate in the minors. I'd hope that would go up and raise his value a little bit, but looks like a fairly solid second base option for this team right now. And then Connor Wong, a catcher, offensively not very good, defensively also not very good. I think this is the biggest hole on the team is catcher, which is why they went catcher in the draft last year and drafted Kyle Teal, one of the best catchers available in that draft. So I think that tells you a lot of where they're at catcher-wise, and I just don't think Connor Wong's very good, I'll be honest. And then just moving through to the pitching, this is where things, I don't think they go awry, but they fall off a little bit. You have Nick Pivetta, Brian Baio, Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, and Garrett Whitlock, and I'm just going to say it. Those guys are good pitchers. I think all five of those players are good pitchers. I don't think one of them is an ace. Brian Baio may be the closest thing to it. I really like Brian Baio. I don't especially like his delivery, but I do like the pitching outcomes that he gets. He's got a really nice changeup, a good sinker to go along with it, and I think he just needs to do a little bit more with his four-seam fastball for me to really consider him a potential ace. They just extended him. I think it was a good extension. Like, I do think he's a good pitcher. A better defense behind him would really help, since he has a changeup and a sinker that are his two best pitches. But I think he's a solid pitcher. I mean, I liked him going into last year, and he didn't quite take the step that I wanted to see from him last year. But he was more or less a very similar pitcher to the year before, especially when you look at his peripheral numbers. He's like an elite ground ball guy which I guess helps pitching in Fenway, but I think I just want to see a better defense behind him. That would really help, you know? But I like his pitch mix. I think the four seamer needs to come along a little bit and maybe work on his slider as like an out pitch to lefties or something. But he has sinker, really good sinker changeup. I think it's a really good combo. Nick Pivetta, I mean, he just has a lot of pitches, really good four seam fastball, and just a lot of like fine other pitches, which just helps a lot mixing up to hitters. And then I don't know, Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, again, these are all like 3 through 5 on most teams, like fine pitchers. I just don't, especially pitching in Fenway, it's not ideal for this pitching staff. The ceiling is not very high on the staff, and that's why I'm so surprised they didn't go full throttle this offseason and sign Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or trade for one of the many pitchers that were available. Throw $400 million at Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I don't know. It feels like the Red Sox have not been Red Sox in the past couple of years. They've been trying to be a cost measuring, like very analytic forward, non-spendy team. And they could be like the Dodgers. They could be both. They could be a very analytical and smart baseball team with the capacity to throw out huge contracts that most teams cannot do. And they just haven't been doing that. Like, it's the Red Sox. Come on. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, their owner might be maybe more focused on Liverpool right now than the Red Sox, investing more money into buying players for Liverpool. I don't know. It's just been weird. Cause I think this pitching staff with an ace, like 4 to 5 win pitcher at the top of it, I would heavily consider this team to be more in the wild card mix and their divisional race. But it's just not, the pitching staff's not doing much for me. It's just full of guys that are like, fine. And then the bullpen also, I think he's just fine. Kenley Jansen in 2024, no idea what he's going to give you. He's theoretically their closer. Chris Martin, I guess, could also close. I like him more than Kenley, but he's also not a spring chicken. He's like 37. Josh Winkowski, sure, solid reliever. I liked what Isaiah Campbell did for the Mariners last year. I think he's going to be a solid bullpen option, if not unspectacular, with a really good mustache. They traded for Greg Weissert. He was one of the guys they got back in the Verdugo trade. I like him a little bit more than some of their options last year. Brandon Bernardino is in this bullpen as a lefty option. I don't know, man. I just don't know. This pitching staff as a whole, like even with Lucas Giolito thrown in it, he's not like the frontline starter I'm talking about that would really make me consider this team a true contender. I think they need a Blake Snell on this team, a Jordan Montgomery, a Shane Bieber, one of those guys that I repeatedly have been mentioning. They need one of those guys if they want me to take them seriously. And right now, I'm not. I'm going to really enjoy this offense. I do like Brian Baio again, but the other guys just, I don't know, man. I'm just not entirely convinced of this team building that they have going on. I forgot the X factor, the most important thing of these preview episodes, the X factor for this team. I think it's Brian Baio. Like, I was going to have it be Lucas Giolito before he went down. I think it's Brian Baio. I think they're going to need Brian Baio to improve upon the last 2 years if they really want to be a great team. I think he could do that. I don't know exactly what his ceiling would be, but I think if he gets his four-seam fastball cooking a little bit, it's a weird delivery, and the fastball shape isn't something I totally love. But if he does something with that four-seam fastball and you have a good four-seamer, a really good changeup, and a sinker, that's at least 3 solid pitches that you can play off of for most hitters. I don't know if I see it this year. Fangraphs is projecting him to have a fairly modest year, like 2.6 WAR, like 4.2 ERA. That's like a little bit better than league average. It's a tough ballpark. Not a great defense behind him. Maybe a little bit better this year for a heavy ground ball pitcher. I don't know. He's the X factor because I think if he like soars into ace status, that would really do a lot for this team. But I think they're, I don't know. I think more realistically, especially, and if he falls off, like, that's what the X Factor combo is all about. If he tanks, that would be real bad for this squad. So I think he's my X Factor. And then the over under for this Boston Red Sox team, as I wrap up here, is 77.5. That is a really tough one. I'm gonna go over. I think they probably win like 80. I agree with the projections. This just seems like an 81 win team who's constantly seven or like six games out of the wild card. You know, they're like almost close enough to push it all in, but not quite. That just kind of feels like what they're doing right now. So I'm going to go over 77.5 for this team, and I will move on to the next projected team in this division. And the next four projections are all, I'm not going to say all over the place, but there's some disagreement with the projection systems for the next four teams. But the next one I will be talking about is the lone Canadian team in Major League Baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays. A team, maybe the most underperforming team of the past couple years, just in terms of the expectations that they've not only set for themselves, but the league is kind of set, where it's like, we expect you to be better than this. I mean, they made the playoffs a few times, flamed out in the playoffs also, every time they've made it. And it's just, it seems like they, more than any team, this is true of every team in baseball, where you need to internally develop and get better year over year, right? If you want to contend. That is true of every single team in the league. The Blue Jays, it might be the most pivotal that they just get internal improvements to really propel them to a true World Series contender. Because, like, on paper, they are. But they just haven't performed that way. It's been kind of a up and down for this core. And if they don't improve a lot this year and win the division or go to the ALCS or the World Series, I don't know if I'm ready to say if they don't win the World Series this year, it's a failure. But like, this core might be gone after this year or next year, depending on what happens. The core of like Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, and like, I guess to a lesser extent, Alejandro Kirk, and then pairing that with Jose Berrios and like Kevin Gausman and Jordan Romano, and the bullpen has been here for a while. It just feels like it's a really good core that they've had, and they've really underperformed their expectations. And it goes to show you how quickly a very young, promising core can kind of collapse. And it hasn't collapsed yet. They're still here this year. But the key to this team is just internal improvements, because they didn't, notably, this team doesn't have Shohei Ohtani on it. He is still on a flight to Toronto to this day, and it will never land. And they didn't necessarily need Ohtani, but boy, would Ohtani in the DH spot would have helped this team. But besides like almost getting Ohtani, they weren't super active in the offseason. Like, they lost a couple guys. They lost Matt Chapman. They lost Whit Merrifield. They lost Brandon Belt and a few relievers, Adam Simber, Anthony Bass, which, you know, fuck that guy, but they lost him. But they re-signed Kevin Kiermaier. They brought in Justin Turner to DH and probably play a little bit of third base. They brought in IKF as well, who theoretically right now is their starting third baseman on opening day, which is not ideal. And then they also signed Yariel Rodriguez of WBC fame. I mean, he wasn't in... what should I say? They didn't sign him from the WBC. Is that the right term here? Cuban pitcher playing in Japan the past few years, had a really good WBC, and then the Blue Jays signed him to a decent deal. And I don't think he's going to start in the major leagues. I think they have him probably slated in the minors right now. But that was their offseason. Like, not like bad signings. They didn't get Ohtani, but at the end of the day, again, they didn't, like, this team just needs to get better internally, because a few guys had down years last year. Like, the range of outcomes for this lineup is vast, and I'll just get into what it looks like. I mean, they did win 89 games last year. Like, this is a good team, and they're projected by Pecota to go 88 and 74. Fangraphs has them going a more modest 84 and 78, but that's like projecting a mid to high 80s win team is perpetually my nightmare of being a Mariners fan. But this, it makes sense with this team. Like, this is a team with a pretty high floor, but it's the ceiling where it's like, if you get the best out of Springer, Vlad Guerrero, Dalton Varsho, Bo Bichette, like, that's a scary, scary lineup. And they just didn't get that last year. Despite that, they still won 89 games because the pitching was so good and the lineup was still solid despite some guys taking a step back. And their lineup is as follows. George Springer in right field, Bo Bichette in shortstop, Vlad Guerrero Jr. at first base, Justin Turner at DH, Dalton Varsho in left field, Alejandro Kirk at catcher, Kevin Kiermaier in center field, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at third base, and Kevin Biggio at second base. Second base and third base looking a little tough at the moment for this team. But just the top of the lineup, again, this is a totally good team on paper. Like, a very solid, solid lineup on paper. And you could project them to win like 95 games, but will they? I don't know. Because George Springer had a real down year last year, not a very George Springer-y type of year. And you'd hope to get the George Springer you signed to be peak George Springer this year if you really want to be a serious baseball team. I think his power just kind of took a dip last year. He struck out slightly more. I think he had like similar batted ball luck too. He stole more bases. He was just not as effective offensively. Like, the power kind of, I don't know if I want to say fell off a cliff, but his isolated power was down almost 60 points last year. That's not ideal. That's not what you want to see from an aging 34-year-old outfielder. I think you'd still expect him to be better than a 104 WRC plus this year. But if he's not, that's really unfortunate. And then Bo Bichette in the two hole at shortstop. I think Bo Bichette was every bit as Bo Bichette as he was the years prior. He just played in less games last year. The rate stats were super similar. You saw low strikeout or lower than average strikeout rate, low walk rate, hit the ball a lot, sprayed the ball around the park, hit for a good amount of power, played fine defense. He's a flawed defender, but not a bad defender in my opinion. He put up, like, the past 3 years, it's 5.1 F4, 4.5 F4, and 3.8 F4. So that's decreasing, but like, he played 159 games, 159 games, 135 last year. He plays 159 games last year. He puts up 4-5 WAR again. That's pretty consistent. I think we can probably expect that from him this year. So I'm not super worried about Bo Bichette. I don't know if he gives you more production than that, but if he's just a 4-5 win player over a full season as a shortstop, that's a very solid player, obviously. I'm not as worried about Bo Bichette as the next couple guys in this lineup. Vlad Guerrero Jr., man. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has, he might be the most disappointing player in baseball the past couple of years, and I hate to say it. But after the 2021 he had, he almost hit 50 home runs. He looked like one of the best offensive players in the league, like top three offensive player in the league that year, probably. And since then, he had a pretty good 2022. He didn't have as otherworldly of a season, but a pretty solid year at the plate in 2022. And then last year, just fine. Like, it was fine at the plate, but you need him to do more than a 118 WRC plus and 26 home runs in 156 games. He didn't change a whole lot, really, in terms of the, a lot of the count, a lot of the rate stats here. Like, he walked a little bit more than 2022. He struck out a little bit less. Just power was down, and his big thing has just been launch angle. He hits the ball hard. He still hits the ball very hard. It's just been, he needs to elevate the ball more. And I don't know what change was made from 2021 to now in terms of his swing and why he's hitting dramatically less home runs, but that's like, he is the key internal improvement that needs to be made if this team has World Series aspirations in 2024. He needs to get back to hitting 35-40-45 home runs, because he's not going to give you defensive value at third, at first base, but you don't need him to if he's going to slash 270, 360, 550. Like, if he's going to hit 40 home runs, who cares what the defense is? But he needs to do that first. And then Justin Turner, I guess, is their DH, and I'm assuming we'll see him at third base. This is a team that could really use JD Davis. If they went and signed JD Davis, the day after I record this, I wouldn't be surprised at all. That would be major help, like major helpful. That was a terrible, terrible phrase. That would be really helpful, because Justin Turner, I'm not as confident in his defensive ability as he ages. I think he's still fine at the plate. Professional hitter for sure. IKF at the plate, not confident. I think IKF as a utility player is super useful. He can play every position on the diamond pretty well. So I think if you get an everyday third baseman to replace Matt Chapman, you're not going to get that type of Matt Chapman production. But JD Davis has been a pretty promising hitter, and his defense has come along in the past couple of years since leaving the Mets. And I think that would be a very serviceable option for this team that they should really try to get. And then you shift IKF into a full-time utility role. I think that'd be super, super helpful for this team. And then Dalton Varsho and Alejandro Kirk and Kevin Kiermaier. Like, Kevin Kiermaier, we know what he is at this point. He's just going to probably still continue to provide Gold Glove caliber defense in center field. Oh, and Kevin Biggio is at second base. I don't think Kevin Biggio is a very good baseball player. I would probably expect to see more Davis Schneider there at second base. Maybe a Davis Schneider, Kevin Biggio platoon at second base this year with more Davis Schneider. I'll say it. I don't think Davis Schneider is going to have a 1,000 OPS the whole season like he did when he came up last year and lit the world on fire. But the projections do like him to have a pretty decent season. But okay, Dalton Varsho, Alejandro Kirk. Two guys, again, who had down years at the plate last year when this team really didn't need them to. Alejandro Kirk was one of the best hitting catchers in the league in 2022. And in 2023, similar to what happened to a couple other guys on this team, the production at the plate went down with the power. He did not hit for as much power. He still walked and struck out around the same amount, 10%, as he did in the year before. That's one of the things that makes him a fairly unique catcher. He does not strike out much. He walks a lot. His power was just down last year. I think he suffered from some batted ball luck. I still think Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen is a pretty freaking solid catcher rotation, at least at the plate. And so I like Alejandro Kirk to have a little bit better of a season than he did last year at the plate. Dalton Varsho is really tough, and Dalton Varsho is my X factor for this team. It could be Vlad Guerrero. It could be George Springer. I think it's Varsho because they gave up Gabriel Moreno for him, and what he's going to give you at the very least is some speed and really good defense, especially in the corners. He can play a good center field. In the corners, it's only going to be better defensively. He played a full year last year, 158 games. There's not much more you could ask from a posting perspective there. And his walk rate didn't dip. His strikeout rate didn't increase last year from the year before. It's another case of a Blue Jays hitter. Just the power was sapped. He only hit 20 home runs last year compared to 27 the year prior. And seven less games, I should add, too. Isolated power was down 30 points. I think maybe he suffered from some bad to ball luck as well. But an 85 WRC plus in 158 games from a guy you'd expect to put up a 110, and if he progresses, maybe a 120 WRC plus at the ceiling, they need more out of him offensively. I'm not worried about the defense, but if offensively, if he's 10% better than league average, that's like a 4-5 win corner outfielder who can steal you some bags, play really good defense, and hit 25 to 30 home runs. I think that is a safe thing to bet on for Varsho. He just needs to prove it this year that he can do it in that ballpark. And he can also play catcher, which is really interesting. He's a really good outfield defender who can also catch, which is crazy. They don't need him to at all, but I like Varsho. He's a very unique player. I thought he was going to be an amazing player for them this year or last year, and he just was not. Something I definitely whiffed on in my predictions. And they're just going to need him to be a better offensive player. At the very least, he needs to be closer to league average than he was last year. And that is kind of this lineup. I mean, again, it's just a lot of internal improvements need to be made, and I don't know exactly how they're going to go about it. But on paper, it's like easily one of the best lineups in the league. Could it totally crater this year and keep trending in the wrong direction? Sure. Maybe for Springer. I like Kirk and Varsho to bounce back at the plate this year. Vlad Guerrero, no idea. I have no freaking clue. The projections like him to be better in the last couple of years, but the projections also liked him a lot last year, and he just can't keep, he just can't stop punting the ball into the ground. It's what he needs to stop. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of the offense, but I will move on to the pitching. Pitching, I really do like Jose Berrios, Chris Bassitt, Yusei Kikuchi, Kevin Gausman, Bowden Francis they have right now in the five spot with Manoah a little hurt, but I'm assuming Manoah gets that nod when he's fully healthy. Manoah is one of my big questions for this team this year, like everyone else's question. Like, he, what an awful, awful year he had last year. Totally just out of nowhere, out of the blue. He was also one of the reasons this team didn't quite reach its potential last year. He looks a lot better in camp. I know he gave up quite a bit of runs and a lot of his starts in spring training, but the velocity was a couple ticks up from what he was doing last year, and that's the only thing that I really care about in spring training for a guy like that, is he looked better, and he, his velocity and his stuff just was a lot improved. The numbers were from last year, so that's really all you can really ask for at this point. And then the rest of the rotation, I like Jose Berrios quite a bit. Kevin Gausman, I love. Just one of the best pitchers in the American League. Great splitter. I think he's probably going to repeat similar to what he did last year. I really like him as a top of the rotation arm for this team. Chris Bassitt as well, just a really solid option for them. I love his, I just love his curveball. Big fan of watching Chris Bassitt pitch as well. His pitching staff's really good. And it was really helped by Yusei Kikuchi finally kind of breaking out and having a really solid year on the mound last year. He really looked like the pitcher that was somewhat promised when he came over from Japan to go to the Mariners. His velocity was up a little bit, but really he changed his pitch mix up a little bit. He had that slider working really well. He threw a lot of innings, put up nice rate stats. I think he's just going to be a solid pitcher for them, at least as a number four behind those other three guys. That's like a very good four starter in my mind. And maybe it's because he gets like 14 hours of sleep at night, you know, that's, maybe it's that. And then the bullpen, Jordan Romano still here, one of the more consistent closers in baseball of the past, I don't know, 3 years. It's just been a really solid option for them out of the pen. Eric Swanson is great. Yimi Garcia, Tim Meza, like Chad Green, Genesis Cabrera, Trevor Rodgers, Mitch White. I think this is a really solid bullpen. One of the main reasons they were such a good team last year was this entire staff, rotation, and bullpen. I see no reason to really be down on them going into this year, and I think it's just going to be a good staff. I think it's all kind of on the offense to reach its ceiling for this team to really like win this division and go deep in the playoffs. It's up to the internal improvements on the offense, because the pitching is there, the pitching is going to be good, and the offense has a pretty good floor, but it's like you need Vlad Guerrero to hit 30 home runs, you need Springer to hit more home runs than you did last year, you need just more power from the guys you expecting to hit more power, you know what I'm saying? Like, and JD Davis at third base, get IKF out of the starting lineup and you'll be cooking. What is the over-under for this Blue Jays team this year? It is 86.5. I'm going to go over. I think this team underperformed last year and they won 89 games. Don't see why they'd win under 86.5 this year. I'm going to go over. I think they signed JD Davis. I think that pushes them over the 86.5 win mark. Still a really tough division that definitely got better this offseason too, so I don't know where they're going to end up in the standings. But I think over 86.5 is a pretty healthy estimate for this team. And I will move on to the third team in this division, projected to get third or second or fourth, depending on what projection system you look at. The Baltimore Orioles, the division winner last year. Crazy to say. The 2023 AL East champion Baltimore Orioles. That is a wild thing to come out of my mouth after the past decade of Orioles baseball, seeing the lows that they hit and now the highs that they hit, and building off like maybe the best vibes of any team in the league right now. Even they got swept in the playoffs last year against the Rangers, and yet I still think the vibes might be the highest of any team going into the year. Just a really young, really fun team. They won 101 games last year. Like, that's crazy. I do think they got a little lucky. Their Pythagorean was 94-68, you know, but it's hard to win 101 games and not get a little lucky, you know? So, and what do they do this offseason? I felt like the entire offseason leading up to the big trade that they made, the fans were just clamoring for pitching, and it felt like it was never going to come for whatever reason. It was like this team is a frontline starter away from really being a true, true contender, because even with the improvements of their pitching staff last year, which I don't think should be ignored, it still was not a amazing staff. Like, the improvements we saw from Kyle Bradish and, like, Dean Kremer and even, like, Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin last year, I think it was still, like, we need a Dylan Cease, we need a Shane Bieber, we need a Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, any of the pitchers that were available, Tyler Glass now. And none of them are on the Orioles right now. But who is Corbin Burnes? They made that huge trade for Corbin Burnes and gave up Joey Ortiz and D.L. Hall. D.L. Hall, they were using as a reliever. The Brewers are going to use him as a starter and probably get a lot of good stuff out of him because the Brewers are good at developing pitching. And Joey Ortiz was a shortstop, third base prospect in a system full of infield prospects. He was probably the best defensive prospect they had infield-wise, but he was just not going to get reps on this team in the future with the likes of Jackson Holliday, Jordan Westberg, Gunnar Henderson on the left side of the infield for them. He just was probably not going to crack this lineup anytime soon. So I was so surprised that they managed to get Corbin Burnes and they didn't give up Kobe Mayo or Heston Kjerstad or Colton Cowser. I was so surprised they didn't give up any of those guys. I would have expected at least one to go back for Corbin Burnes, but I guess, like, Corbin Burnes only has 1 year left on his deal. He had kind of a down year last year. I guess the price was cheaper than maybe it would have been trading for him last year. But it was huge that they were able to hold on to those three guys, because I think they still kind of have a glut of both outfield and infield prospects who all look like each other. It's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed prospect group, man. But that still gives them plenty of options, like, this season if they need to trade for another starter or some relief help, which I think they could probably use. But Corbin Burnes, huge add for this team. I mean, it skyrockets them into, like, potential repeat champions without a whole lot of luck involved, because I think they just needed that. They needed the frontline starter. But I will talk about the pitching staff after the offense, like I usually do. But the projections for this team are pretty modest. Pecota has them going 86-76, and Fangraphs has them going 83-78, which that doesn't add up to 162. Clearly, I inputted that wrong. It would be 83-79. Whoops. But either way, Fangraphs clearly hates the Orioles. No, I see why. I guess they might be more modest on this team is because still, I think the back of the rotation and a lot of the bullpen, there's big question marks for this team. But the offense looks like it's going to again be one of the best in baseball. Super exciting, super young. You have Cedric Mullins in center field. And this is lineup 1-9. Cedric Mullins and then Adley Rutschman at catcher. Gunnar Henderson at shortstop. Anthony Santander in right field. Ryan O'Hearn at first base. Ryan Mountcastle in DH. Austin Hayes in left field. They have Jackson Holliday cracking the opening day team at second base with Jordan Westberg at third base. And then you have, like, Colton Cowser, they project to be on the bench right now as a bench outfielder. Maybe he platoons with Austin Hayes this year in outfield. He's had a really good spring for what it's worth. And then, like, Jorge Mateo, Ramon Urias still kicking on the bench as infield depth for this team. And then, again, they have Kobe Mayo in the wings, who is a third base prospect. Heston Kjerstad as well, who's a outfield prospect who likely will probably see those guys this year as well, I imagine, or they get traded, I don't know. It's just a really good lineup. I mean, I love Cedric Mullins. Adley Rutschman is one of the best catchers already in the league. I think there's another another gear to Adley on offense. He hasn't been bad offensively at all, especially for a catcher. But last year he cut his K rate, kept his walk rate the same, hit for less power on a rate basis, but he played more games. He put 154 games last year, like 110 at catcher, 46 at DH. So plenty of offensive production from him, even though it was a little less so on a rate basis. But again, he put, like, that's so many games to play as a catcher, even when you're DHing. Like five win player in both seasons his rookie year, and now really catches his pitching staff well. I just think there's more offensively we could see from him, which is crazy to say. Because if he gives you more offensively, like, he could be putting up peak, like, Buster Posey catching in offensive seasons, which would be wild. And then behind him is Gunnar Henderson, who might be better than Adley Rutschman. I don't know. Gunnar Henderson is so good. He had a real rookie-type April that had everyone who bet his rookie of the year odds like, oh, man, maybe this isn't the year. And then he was one of the best hitters in baseball from May on. 4.6 WAR season, a guy who can steal you some bases, play good defense. He has a ton of power in his bat from the left side. He just looks like one of the best players in baseball. Like a good hit tool to go along with it. A true, like, franchise cornerstone shortstop or third baseman or second baseman, depending on how, like, the Jackson Holliday development goes. But I love Gunnar Henderson. Anthony Santander, I feel like, has been one of the more underrated hitters in baseball the past couple of years, just from both sides of the plate. Provides you plenty of power and has just been improving. And he's been really good for this team. Been definitely one of the longer tenured Orioles for sure right now. Just off the cuff, I think that's fair to say. Him and, like, Cedric Mullins. Same with Ryan Mountcastle. Ryan Mountcastle in the DH spot. I think if there's anyone's immediate play time is affected by these prospects coming up, it's Ryan Mountcastle. I think if he doesn't quite come out of the gate being real good, and he's been really solid at the plate the past couple of years. He hasn't been bad. He's been really good. But I think we could see plenty of Colton Cowser or Cody Mayo or Heston Kjerstad or even Jordan Westberg at DH this year for them. Austin Hayes still in the outfield for this team. Another one of the longer tenured Orioles on this team who's still in his 20s. Like, the old guard on this team is like 28, 29. And then the new guys are all like 23. It's not like the veterans on this team haven't even hit 30 and had their first free agent contract yet. It's absurd. But he had a really solid year last year, Austin Hayes. I think safe to say he'll be penciled into the lineup until he doesn't hit. But I think, like, at the very least, it'll be a platoon between him and Cowser in left or right field. And then Jordan Westberg, I think he was one of the earlier guys to get called up from this prospect group last year to play third base. He came up as like a second base, third base type. I think his defense is fine at third base. I'd be, you know, dishonest with you if I say I don't know much about his defense. I don't know his ceiling. I feel like he provides a fairly league average floor with not a huge ceiling. I feel like his approach is pretty good at the plate. He offers some power upside, like 20 home runs. But another guy I can see maybe getting less play time if Jackson Holliday comes up and is amazing and plays short. They could play Gunnar Henderson at third base. Cody Mayo, if he rakes in the minors to start the year and they promote him to third base. I mean, they got so many options. And then Jackson Holliday they have at second base, man. I think he'll probably start the year on this team. They're incentivized to with the new rules. They could get, if he wins Rookie of the Year, which he'd definitely be the favorite. I think, like, the real only question is for him is where is he going to play. I think Gunnar was so good at shortstop last year, it makes sense that he'll come up as a second baseman. But with the option of playing shortstop, maybe he's just their long-term second baseman who is one of the more polished hitters in the game. His swing is beautiful. Really good hit tool, very projectable power. He's definitely put on weight since last year, and he's only 20 years old. So even if he doesn't hit for a ton of power this year, you see his swing and you see the body type, and it's just so projectable of, like, if he's potentially a 30 home run guy good second base defense, high average, gets on base at a high clip, just like seal it. Like, the sky's the limit for Jackson Holliday. He's best prospect in baseball for a reason. It's an embarrassment of riches over there with the Orioles, and I think it's super useful. Again, if they need to acquire any arms at the deadline this year, they have a they just have so many different types of guys you could acquire. You know, you could get an older guy closer to free agency with less control who's still going to give you solid offensive production, like Ryan Mountcastle, Austin Hayes, even Anthony Santander. Or you could be like, give me Kobe Mayo, give me Heston Kjerstad, give me Colton Cowser, give me Jordan Westberg, give me one of the young guys. There's so many options for this team if they go down the trade route. I've thought about it a lot from a Mariners perspective. If we're going to give up one of our arms, I would love Kobe Mayo or Heston Kjerstad or Colton Cowser to come back in that trade. If we end up trading like Emerson Hancock or something, that would be real cool. But let's get into the pitching. So the pitching is Corbin Burnes, Grayson Rodriguez, Dean Kremer, Tyler Wells, and Cole Irvin. I'll start with the back of the bullpen back of the rotation. Cole Irvin and Tyler Wells, I don't really dislike here, especially long term when John Means and Kyle Bradish hopefully come back in a timely manner this year. John Means probably before Bradish. I think those guys will slide in to the rotation, and Cole Irvin and Tyler Wells will go back to the bullpen. I think they're going to be serviceable enough starters for what this team needs to start the year for a couple months. Dean Kremer, I like Dean Kremer. I think he showed us last year that he can just be a fairly solid pitcher in the big leagues. I don't think it's anything special from him. I think he throws three pitches that are good with good command, and he throws like five pitches, but I think his four seam, his curveball, and his cutter are really nice and work well with like his other slider that he has. He just throws a lot of pitches with good command. He's one of those guys. I like them long term as a floor guy, especially with a good defense around him. So as the number three starter, likely the number four or five when Means and Bradish are in this rotation, I like that out of Dean Kremer. Grayson Rodriguez, their top pitching prospect for the last couple of years, had a very tough start to his MLB career last year when he came up. But he got sent down, and then he came back up later in the year and looked fantastic. Even when he wasn't pitching well, you saw the stuff. His fastball is great. His changeup is great. I think his slider is very promising to work off those two. He has a curveball as well. He looked every bit as promised when he came back up after his second stint in AAA, or his stint in AAA last year in between his start at the year with the team. And then if I remember correctly, he got shelled in the playoffs, but that's okay. He looked really good. I think a lot of people were expecting big things out of him this year. And then Corbin Burnes, my X factor for this team, Corbin Burnes, traded for him to be their ace. He's going to be their ace. I really like Corbin Burnes. He's been super durable the past couple of years. He wasn't as good last year as he was in 2022, but he was damn close, and I think he's just going to be something they absolutely need. But if he somehow has a fall off this year, X factor wise, that'd be real bad. But I think he's probably going to be really good for this team. I will be honest. He's my X factor because they need it. They need this ace type. And it's really crucial for him to be the ace and not put that on Grayson Rodriguez in his young career. However good Grayson Rodriguez is this year, it's going to be a little bit pressure off with Corbin Burnes on the team, which I think is really nice. And then going to the bullpen, their lone free agent signing this year was Craig Kimbrel. I don't really know how I feel about Craig Kimbrel in 2024 as an out-and-out closer, but he seems to, at least they're going to start the year with him in the closer role. And then they have Yennier Cano, who really broke out as a really good relief pitcher last year. The tough part is they're going to miss Felix Bautista, the mountain, all year this year, which sucks. He is one of the best back of the bullpen arms the game has to offer right now. So that really sucks. But they got good contributions last year out of like Danny Coulomb and CNL Perez and like Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin when they worked out of the bullpen. I have questions outside of like Kimbrel, Cano, Coulomb. I think they kind of need Dylan Tate to rebound a little bit. I guess rebound is the wrong word. He didn't pitch at all last year. So him pitching this year at all is a plus. His stuff is really nice out of the pen. Really fun slider. They're going to need him to be pretty good for them this year to pick up the slack of missing Felix Bautista. I have questions about the other bullpen arms. I think they could stand to add another solid, dependable arm or two in this bullpen, but that can be accomplished at the deadline. And I think if they're in it again, it's hard to predict what this team's going to do, but with new ownership, I feel like they're more bought in, and I feel like they will probably try to add some arms at the deadline. But this pitching staff and the bullpen depth specifically is where I think they'll probably lose some of the wins, and I think that's probably what the projection systems think as well. But largely, I think this team is going to be quite good, and I don't know. It's tough to pick them to win the division again, but I think the offense is going to be really good again. Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez at the top of that rotation. Like, I think it's going to be, at the very least, a really fun team to watch. And what is their over-under? It is 90.5. Ooh, boy. 90.5, man. 90.5. I'm going to go over 90.5, I think. I think they win 91 to 92 games. I'm not going to go way over. I feel like they're not going to win 100 games again like they did last year. But 90.5 feels low for what this team did last year, and it feels like they have gotten better in the offseason. And so over 90.5 feels like a healthy pick to me. So I'm going to go over 90.5, and I will move on to the next team in this division, the Tampa Bay Rays. They won 99 games last year with a Pythagorean of 100. So really, the Rays had quite the year. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but it was pretty high on the Rays going into last year. There was eerily little talk of them in the offseason. Obviously, it's the Rays. They didn't do a whole lot last year's offseason. You know, not like major moves, but I loved them going into the year because they got healthy in the offseason. I thought that was just as good as acquiring players. They got really healthy. They come out for like 2 months straight. They win, 14 games in a row to start the year. They are like 25-5. And then they played just consistently good ball since that hot start. They finished with 99 wins, which was not good enough to win this division, crazy enough. And then they lose in the playoffs. But a really good year from this team. And it just feels like the Rays, no matter what happens to them, injuries, what have you, with a franchise shortstop, that situation, it just feels like they can weather more storms than a lot of teams. It feels like they're built to rebuild every offseason, it feels like. But their core has been here for a little while, and they're entering the year pretty healthy on the offense side. The pitching side this year is quite hurt, at least a lot of the guys you'd pencil into this rotation. They're pretty hurt right now on the pitching side, but I do kind of trust the Rays to patch things together pitching-wise until they get some reinforcements back off the IL. And the projections like them to win 80, high 80s in games, 87 to 75 by Pecota, and Fangraphs has them at 86 and 76. I think that is fair. They didn't do a whole lot in the offseason this year. It was, from a free agency standpoint, I should say, which is as per usual with the Rays. I mean, they signed Phil Maton earlier. They signed Chris Devensky, re-signed. And they also signed Ahmed Rosario, who his swing looks different. I think he went to Driveline or Tread. Not Driveline. I think he went to Driveline the offseason. And his swing looked great in the couple of plate appearances I saw highlight-wise from spring training. And I feel like Ahmed Rosario is going to have like a 2-WAR season out of nowhere for this Rays team. It just feels destined to happen. He's slated for kind of a out-and-out utility role, maybe a platoon in the corner outfield or at second base. Ahmed Rosario was not very good last year at all. He had some good years, good couple of years there with Cleveland after going over from the Mets And the Rays feel like a perfect team for him to have a bounce back year without a whole lot of pressure on his back. I mean, he can play shortstop, he can play second base, he'll DH. You could stick him in the corner outfield. But that's who they signed, and then they made a couple trades. They traded Tyler Glass now for Johnny DeLuca and Ryan Pepiot from the Dodgers. They traded Vidal Brujan to the Marlins for some guys. They made a couple trades with the Mariners. The bigger one, Luke Raley for Jose Caballero, and Caballero slated to start at shortstop for them this year. So they had a somewhat Rays-type offseason with a lot of the core from last year's team still intact. They're just missing Wander Franco. Listen, I'm not going to speak on that because it seems like he's probably never going to play in Major League Baseball ever again, probably for good reason as well. So they're just without him, and he was their franchise cornerstone. He had signed a long-term deal that was somewhat team-friendly. I was so high on him last year going into the year. He looked amazing, and then that news came out, and it's very unfortunate, not for him, but for the people involved in that situation. And the Rays got to figure out what to do about that. And right now, I think it might be shortstop by committee a little bit. But I'll talk about maybe some prospects that come up, play short. I don't know. But I like this team going into this year. I feel like it's similar to last year, where I don't hear a lot of people talking about the Rays because they didn't make a blockbuster acquisition this year. They traded away Tyler Glass now and Manuel Margot. But like, I wouldn't consider Johnny DeLuca and Ryan Pepiot like a blockbuster type get for the Rays. I do like Pepiot this year pitching for this team, but I feel like a lot of people are talking in this division about the Yankees, which for good reason. The Yankees had a pretty loud offseason. At least one move in particular was fairly loud. And like, you're talking about the Orioles and all their young players, and there's just the Rays just here. I feel like they're just always, at this point, people are like, yeah, the Rays are probably going to be the Rays. And they definitely will be. And I'll just get into what their lineup is looking like. 1-9, this is how Fangraphs thinks the opening day lineup is going to shake out. Yandy Diaz at first base, Brandon Lau at second base, Randy Arozarena in left field, Josh Lowe in right field. Brandon Lau and Josh Lowe, which is, man, ridiculous. That Isaac Paredes at third base, Jonathan Aranda at DH, Jose Siri in center field, Jose Caballero at shortstop, and Rene Pinto at catcher. And I really do like this lineup. It's a very Raysy lineup, but the top of it is great. Yandy Diaz, probably the most underrated player in all of baseball because he plays on the Rays, which, you know, fair. But he has been, past couple years, one like a top 10 offensive player in the league. He's one of the best players in the league, period, and cemented that with his season last year. And I think he's one of the best hitters I've seen in quite some time. Basically, since going to the Rays from Cleveland and starting to play every day around, well, in 2020 and on, which 2020 was so short. But he's been a very much above average hitter since then. Truly had his breakout in 2022, where he played 137 games. He had a 146 WRC plus, 3.7 WAR out of first base. He can play third as well. And he walked 14% of the time that year and struck out 10.8% of the time, which is absurd. And his big problem was he was hitting the ball hard. His approach was excellent. His contact skill, his feel for the zone is elite. And what prevented him from really having like an MVP type year that year with those numbers is 9 home runs. He was hitting the ball into the ground far too much. It was a Vlad Guerrero type problem with less raw power, essentially. And what he did last year, he started to elevate the ball. He hits 22 home runs in 137 games, 164 WRC plus, 4.7 WAR, 16% strikeout rate, around 11% walk rate. That is a crazy good approach. And he did what you wanted him to do last year. He started elevating the ball a lot more. And with his contact ability and raw power, that's not like insane raw power. It's fairly modest raw power, but it's just the approach and the contact that makes him one of the best hitters in the league. And I love Yandy Diaz. I love him going into this year. And then behind him, they're getting Brandon Lau back to start the year healthy. He did get hurt last year. He started the year healthy after not playing a whole lot in 2022. But he started the year healthy last year, got hurt, missed about a month, month and change of some time. But overall, his numbers looked really good. It looked similar to kind of what we've been expecting from Brandon Lau. Just he'll strike out a decent amount, but good walk rate and a lot of power from the left side. And I think they're going to need him to be as close to peak Brandon Lau as possible this year if they really want to contend with this division. And I think he can be that. I'm still pretty high on Brandon Lau. He just needs to stay healthy. I'd just love to see him play like 140 games because he has played, he put 149 in 2021, and then in 2022 he played 65, and last year he played 109. So past 2 years he's played about one season. I'd like to see him get to like 130 this year, because with his production, that's like a 3-4 WAR second baseman with upside of 25 to 30 home runs, gets on base at a good amount. I think they're going to need that from him this year, but I like him to do that, and the projections like him to be a solid player again this year for them. Randy Rosarena and Josh Lowe in the corners. I love Randy Rosarena. How can you not love the man? I mean, just watching him play baseball is phenomenal. Hit the WBC, was amazing with him last year in Team Mexico. And he had a really good season last year. He kind of proved that his 2020 postseason outburst of being the best player alive in that postseason was not a fluke. He has repeated, not the same year over year, but he has just proven that he is just a really stable, solid hitter. He does a lot of things well. He has had three straight 2020 seasons. He has, I get really good speed, solid fielding in the corners, really 55 grade hit tool, 55 grade power, just kind of a stable 3-4 WAR corner outfielder, which is so valuable. And he plays the game in such a fun way. He's been super durable. I really like Randy Rosarena. He walked a lot last year, which is super encouraging. His strikeout rate hovered a little around league average, but he raised his walk rate. And he hit for roughly the same amount of power as he did the year prior. I mean, 23 home runs, 95 runs, 83 RBIs, 22 stolen bases last year, 3.3 WAR. He's just a really solid player. And then Josh Lowe had kind of a breakout year in the corner outfield last year. And I don't know if I like him to be 30% better than the league average at the plate this year, but I think we can expect good production with solid speed. I think we can suspect close to at least a 2020 season. He stole 32 bags last year, 20 home runs this year. Probably something similar to that, I imagine. I think he definitely had some batted ball luck go his way. So maybe he doesn't repeat like almost a 4 WAR, 131 WRC plus season, but I think we can safely expect from him a solid year from the left side of the plate, in which they can platoon Ahmed Rosario or Harold Ramirez out there with him. And then Isaac Paredes right after Josh Lowe. And that is a 1-5 that I think is just super well-balanced and will produce a lot of runs as they have the past couple of years for this Rays team. Isaac Paredes is, I guess, similar to Yandy Diaz in terms of just really good hit tool, really good feel for the strike zone. Does not strike out that much, walks a good amount. What really, he broke out in 2022 as well, and then he just added to it last year with a lot more power numbers. And he's not an especially powerful dude. He's not that big. What he does is have tremendous pull ability and has a lot of pull side home runs, which it goes to show if you have the right swing and approach and timing, you don't need to be this super jacked dude to hit a lot of home runs. He hit 31 home runs last year, and his raw power grade is 50. It's just a lot of home runs to the pull side, which is super valuable. And he has tremendous contact ability. So maybe it's a Josh Lowe situation. Maybe he had pretty good batted ball luck last year. A guy who relies a lot on just putting the barrel on the ball. Maybe he doesn't put up almost 4.5 WAR, but I think safely it's going to be like 120 plus WRC plus, like 3-4 WAR from the third base position. Again, just a really solid guy at the plate. And then after, this is where it gets like not dicey, but interesting to me. Jonathan Aranda, they have a DH on opening day. I imagine we'll see plenty of like Curtis Mead and Harold Ramirez at the DH spot this year. And Jonathan Aranda Raked. When I say raked, he was one of the best hitters in AAA last year. Gets called up, plays about a month and change. Didn't especially love the strikeout numbers, but you saw he can really impact the ball, similar to Isaac Paredes in terms of his hit tool is his best. He's not like a super powerful guy, but I think he can definitely hit some home runs if he wants. I'm intrigued to see what he does this year. They have him at DH. He can play first. He can play basically every infield position, probably except shortstop. So I think they'll probably move him around the diamond plenty this year. Jose Siri in center field had an offensive breakout last year. Definitely had an offensive breakout. I don't know if he's that player. I mean, 106 WRC plus is not groundbreaking, but he just had 20 to 25 home runs last year. He struck out a lot, but he hit for a lot of power. He's pretty tall. He's kind of a lanky dude. I love him as a floor guy in center field because he can play center field really well. Maybe he doesn't hit for that many home runs this year, but I think at the back of this lineup, a little bit of power there. I like that. And then Jose Caballero and Rene Pinto. Rene Pinto, I don't know exactly what he's going to give you from the plate, to be honest, but he's going to play a lot of catcher this year. They don't have a lot of other great options at catcher. I think hopefully he'll be a league average bat with a little bit of power. Solid framing. Really good pop time from a catcher, can throw guys out pretty well. And then Jose Caballero at shortstop. I think he'll play a lot of short and second base and maybe third this year for this team. Most of his value last year from the Mariners came from stealing bases and defense, which is fine. Not a particularly powerful person. Fine contact ability, I guess. He's going to have like a 4-WAR season for the Rays after moving from the Mariners to the Rays. That's going to make me mad. But yeah, that's the lineup. I like the lineup. The only big question I have is they have this prospect named Junior Caminero, and I love Junior Caminero. I don't know when he's going to be up because they announced he's going to start the year in AAA. He has 80 potential grade power, like a tremendously powerful man who's coming up as a shortstop. I don't think anyone thinks he's going to be a shortstop. I think at best he's going to be a third baseman and a DH. Maybe they can put him out in the corner outfield. But I want to see him this year. We will see him at some point this year. I think there are, there's probably some strikeout concerns here, but his power is almost elite, and he's 20 years old. So I think he is going to be huge this year for this team. If he can come up and play to his potential, that would be massive. I think he's going to. I believe in Junior Caminero. So I like this lineup. And then to the pitching. Zach Eflin was really good for this team after signing there last year. They got Aaron Civale in a trade. They have Zach Littell. They got Ryan Pepiot in the Glasnow trade this year. Tyler Alexander is penciled in as their number 5. And it's because they have, Shane McClanahan, their ace, had Tommy John surgery last August. So I think he's out all of this year. Drew Rasmussen has had a million surgeries on his pitching arm already. He's had three since college. I think at least 2 Tommy Johns. And then last year in July, I got an internal brace surgery, which is less severe than the Tommy John, but I don't know what his timeline is. And then Jeffrey Springs had Tommy John last year in April, so I think we'll see him at some point this year. That would be really helpful for this Rays team. And then Taj Bradley, young, promising starting pitcher who I didn't have amazing success last year as a rookie pitcher, but his stuff looked really nice. So I think there's a lot of potential. He could be the next ace for this Rays team to trade in 3 years. But he has a strained pec that just was put out on the internet a couple days ago. So that sucks. So he's not going to be on opening day roster. I'm assuming he'll probably miss April. He shut down from throwing for 2 weeks, which is right. So it sounds like he'll start throwing right around opening day, which isn't super promising. I don't think they'll push him since he's so young in his career. But there's just a lot of injuries to this pitching staff. I like Eflin. Savali, I think, is a wild card for this pitching staff. I think they're going to need to get good contributions out of him after coming over from Cleveland. I think they're going to rely on him a lot out of the rotation, at least just to to pitch a lot of innings. I don't necessarily think he's going to be bad. I think he was quite good for Cleveland the past couple of years. And I think if anyone's going to use him correctly and get the most out of him, it's probably the Rays. And then, I don't know, Zach Littell and Tyler Alexander, sure. I feel like Zach Littell is another Rays starter they get off waivers that they turn into just a very solid starter, opener, relief pitcher. He has that written all over him. And then Ryan Pepiot came over in the Glasnow trade as the main piece. I mean, Johnny DeLuca will probably play for his team at some point, but Pepiot pitched last year in the major leagues for the Dodgers, had really good numbers. His peripherals were a little bit higher than his raw numbers, but I think he offers something interesting for them. Really good fastball changeup, and I think the Rays are probably going to want to do some stuff with a slider breaking ball, but I feel like he's going to have a solid year for this Rays team as a back of the rotation guy. And then the bullpen, it's the Rays bullpen. They, like the Yankees we all talk about, like the Brewers, the Mariners, they're one of the best teams at getting everything out of their bullpen and just taking these guys and making them a good bullpen arm. And they project to have another really good bullpen and maybe a set closer for the first time in a long time, it feels like, with Pete Fairbanks as, yeah, I think he's just going to be their closer. And for a team that doesn't do that very often, it's interesting to see that they're going to have maybe a 30-plus save guy this year. Pete Fairbanks, love him, super tall, doesn't blink, big fan. Jason Adam, Colin Poche, Phil Maton, Sean Armstrong, Garrett Clevenger. I think all of these guys are going to be solid for them this year. Jason Adam is filthy. Sean Armstrong, too. I really like Sean Armstrong. Some solid lefty options out of this pen. I think they will, like the Rays usually do, they'll probably get some guys off waivers this year that will be great for them. I'm not worried about the bullpen. I'm more worried about the innings from this rotation because they're just so hurt. Because I think they're looking at Taz Bradley again, maybe pitches, starts in May, and Jeffrey Springs, maybe All-Star break? I don't know exactly. I think my X factor for this Rays team, weirdly enough, is going to be Aaron Civale. I'm not super worried about Zach Eflin repeating the good year that he had for this Rays team last year. I'm worried about the rest of the rotation. Aaron Civale being the number two, he had a solid year again last year for them. I think he's my X factor because I think they can turn him into a really good starting pitcher. He has so many pitches, which is why I think the Rays are going to pick and choose. Like, you're going to throw this one more, you're going to throw this one less. They're going to impart their Rays philosophy on him. And I think he could be a really good pitcher for them, especially because he just has good breaking stuff. And the Rays seem to excel with guys with really good spin and break stuff. So he is maybe my wackiest X factor of the year in these preview podcasts. But it is the Rays. They're a pretty wacky team. And I need time to talk about the Yankees, so I'm just going to go straight to their over-under. And it's 84.5. I'm smashing the over on this Rays team, over 84.5. And we'll move on to the final team in this divisional preview era? Month? This is the final team I'm previewing before the Mariners. It's the New York Yankees, projected to get first in this division. The projections love this team. Pecota has them going 94-68. Fangraphs has them going 88-74. They went 82-80 last year with a 78-84 Pythagorean. I was very low on this team going into last year for a lot of reasons, and I was correct. And I'm definitely, you know, a little bit more bullish on this team going into this year, but especially with the Garrett Cole news, it makes things a little bit more interesting. But I'll get to the pitching staff after I talk about this lineup, which I do really like. If you didn't know, the Yankees traded for Juan Soto this offseason. Now, Juan Soto is one of the best hitters on the planet. You know who else is one of the best hitters on the planet? Aaron Judge. They will be batting back-to-back in this lineup, which is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. That is a crazy two hitters to have. That's two of the best hitters in the league. And Soto's going to be so good. He's going to be so good for this Yankees team. It's going to be disgusting watching him cook in a Yankees jersey. Everyone just hope and pray they don't extend him, because that would be terrifying. But they traded for Juan Soto. They traded a lot of arms that they could definitely part with. It was a good trade no matter what if you get Juan Soto back. And they also got Trent Grisham, which I really liked, throwing him into the trade. I guess the other big trade they made, I mean, they traded for Caleb Ferguson, who I think is going to be a really good reliever for them this year, killing over from the Dodgers. They also traded for Alex Verdugo, who is going to start for them in left field this year, and I think it's going to be a really solid option. But this is how their lineup reads: DJ LeMahieu at third base, Juan Soto in right field, Aaron Judge in center field, Anthony Rizzo at first base, Gleyber Torres at second base, Giancarlo at Stanton at DH, Alex Verdugo in left field, Anthony Volpe at shortstop, and Austin Wells at catcher. A very interesting lineup for this Yankees team. I think there's a lot more to like about this lineup than last year, not just Juan Soto. I think it's going to be a much more balanced lineup. The one thing I will say before I really get into each guy, Jason Dominguez, one of their top prospects, who looks like a really solid switch-hitting corner outfielder who can rake, got Tommy John surgery in September, which sucks. He came up briefly last year, looked awesome. His nickname is The Martian. He's going to miss all of this year, which just stinks. I was really looking forward to watching him, but they will be without him this year, which does really hurt like the depth of this outfield, but they do have some good options. So just to get into it, DJ LeMahieu, he is like the main guy I'm worried about in this lineup. Last year, his strikeout rate rose like 10 whole percentage points, which for him is like going from 10 to 20%. He's been one of the more consistent and reliable players in baseball, especially just for this Yankees team the past 5 years, playing third, second, first, DH, leading off, really productive. Last year, really, his strikeout rate rose so much. He didn't get as many hits. He's like 36. I think that was kind of an indicator that he might be on his way out. And so if he doesn't start the year very, very well, I personally, and I am not Aaron Boone, but I would just hit Juan Soto at the leadoff spot with Aaron Judge second and push DJ LeMahieu out the door. That's what I would do. But they don't really have another third baseman that I trust. So I think he'll continue playing third, but if he's not hitting as well, he's striking out a lot, I would just push him down the lineup. But Juan Soto and Aaron Judge after that, is there really much else to say? I mean, Juan Soto is one of the best players I've ever seen. The man loves walking. I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs in Yankee Stadium. I got nothing else to say about Juan Soto. Aaron Judge, too. Aaron Judge is amazing. If he didn't kick the Dodgers concrete wall, weirdly enough, why do they have concrete on the bottom of their wall? If he didn't do that last year, he might have won the MVP again. He is one of the best players on the planet, one of the best hitters on the planet. Starting him in center field this year, I think he'll see less time out there. I'll get into it a little bit later. Anthony Rizzo, after that in the four spot, I'm willing to throw all of last year out because he got a concussion, and the Yankees, I don't want to get into it, they mismanaged that completely. Like, he was basically playing with concussion symptoms when he knew it. The Yankees felt like they knew it, but they kept playing him. He couldn't really see the ball very well. Very uncharacteristic year from him. I'm going to throw it all out, and I think he's going to be fine this year. I think you can pencil him in for, like, 2 WAR, a very solid first baseman. Short porch will help. And if he doesn't get a concussion and that doesn't happen again this year, I think he's going to be fine. And then Gleyber Torres at second base. Gleyber Torres has just really impressed me the past couple of years. All he's done since coming up for this team, he had a really good couple first years in the juice ball era, had some down years, and then 22 and 23, he's had really good seasons for this team at second base. He's been a very productive player offensively. Last year, he rose his walk rate and lowered his strikeout rate a pretty significant amount while hitting for basically the same amount of power. He has some speed on the base path, enough to steal like 10 to 15 bags. He's a really good player. He's a really good player for this team. And I'm really interested to see
if they re-sign him long term, because he's only 27. I can see him, and I like his approach. I can see him just being a long term, very solid player like he's been the past couple of years. And I just really like him in this lineup. And then Giancarlo Stanton at DH. The DH spot, I think, is going to be crucial for this team this year, because Giancarlo Stanton, as we know, he will hurt his hamstring at some point this year. It happens every year. And you usually kind of take that, because you'd be like, oh, okay, so we hope to get 100 games out of him. He'll hit 20 home runs, and then we'll paper over DH with other people until he comes back. And last year, he missed more games than usual and had a very bad year. He's still at 24 home runs, but he struck out a lot. He was worth negative WAR. He was terrible defensively. He really needs to DH full-time, but when he's running the bases and gets hurt, I don't know. I don't know, man. He's aging. He's 34. I don't know. I just think you're just going to expect him to probably miss time again this year. But I think they're way better equipped to handle that this year than they have been in the past, because I think you can put Juan Soto at DH a lot of the time, because Juan Soto's not great in the field. I think you can DH Juan Soto, shift Judge to right field to have him play a little bit less center, and then play Trent Grisham in center field. I think getting Trent Grisham back in that Padres trade with Soto was huge, because Trent Grisham as a backup outfielder at all three positions and as a starting center fielder, he's really good defensively, and I think he's going to hit pretty well at Yankee Stadium as a left-handed hitter. So I really liked that, because it's going to give them a really solid center field option to put out there when they want to give Judge and his legs a rest. So maybe you keep Soto in right, you put Judge at DH, or Judge in right field, Juan Soto at DH. Maybe you do a mix of both with Trent Grisham in center field. I think it gives them a lot of better options than they've had in the past couple of years. So I think that's going to, their DH spot, I think it's going to be a lot better this year in the DH and outfield rotations. Alex Verdugo in left field, I think he's just a very good hitter, like 2-3 WAR, sprays the ball around, solid approach, you know, just if anything boring, just a fine hitter. Anthony Volpe and Austin Wells, the two not rookies anymore. Well, is Austin Wells, did he play enough to be a rookie? I think Austin Wells is still technically going to be a rookie this year. He didn't play very much last year. I don't know the outlook on Austin Wells. I think he's going to hit. I don't think his defense grades out super well. So I think they're going to give him a pretty long leash at catcher and see if he hits. And then if he's hitting and not catching well, maybe you DH him. And you just play Jose Trevino at catcher, who's a really good defensive option. I like that versatility there, too. And then Anthony Volpe at shortstop. He played almost every game last year. I think he did a good amount of things you wanted to see from a rookie shortstop. He didn't hit particularly well, but I think you saw as the year went on, he started to mature a little bit in his approach, and I think there's a reasonable expectation he will improve at the plate this year. His defense was nice at shortstop last year, and he was super durable and can steal you a good amount of bags. So I like Anthony Volpe just improved this year. I'm hoping to see him put up like league average numbers at the plate. But and that is this offense. I like it a lot more than in recent years. It's a lot more balanced. It has Juan Soto in it. That's a plus. I'm worried a little bit about DJ LeMahieu, but I like the more positionally versatile group that they have this year than like the last couple of years. So I think the lineup's going to be great, honestly. And the pitching. Little bit worried about the starting pitching staff, I'm not going to lie. Gerrit Cole is out for like a month or two, and I think there's reason to be scared that he's going to be out for the year and miss some time next year. He's going to get MRIs. He's going to get specialists to look at his elbow. This is the precursor to Tommy John or internal brace surgery. Now, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's a sprain, and he misses 2 months and comes back and is Gerrit Cole. Or maybe he gets surgery and misses the whole year. Both of those, I think, are like equally as likely right now. And without Gerrit Cole in this rotation, it's a lot shakier. Like a lot. Without him in this rotation, it's Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt, and Clayton Buehler. Marcus Stroman was a good signing for them this year. If unspectacular performance-wise, I think he's going to be a good pitcher. I think he has just been a good pitcher for a while. Not necessarily an ace, just a very solid pitcher. I think his sinker, slider, breaking stuff is going to be played better in Yankee Stadium than a lot of other places. I'm sure he might be zapped a little bit by the home run, but he has ground ball stuff, so that helps. And Nestor Cortes and Carlos Rodon. Nestor Cortes had a not great year last year, after having a tremendous 2022. He did also get hurt last year. He got hurt by the home run more than he did years prior, and I think he got a little bit unlucky in that category. I expect him to put up better numbers than he did last year. Maybe not 3.6 WAR, 2.44 ERA in 150 innings like he did in 2022, but maybe a 3.6 ERA in 140 innings this year. That would be good from Nestor. I think he's going to be fine. And between him and Marcus Stroman, that is an annoying pitching duo because they both throw quite deceptive pitches and also mess with timing constantly. So I think it's going to be fun to watch both those guys pitch this year. And then my X factor for this Yankees team is Carlos Rodon, a man who did not have a very good start to his Yankees career. The worst fan base in the entire world to put up your worst numbers in your career over like 60 innings. So he had like a forearm strain. He missed a lot of the year. He comes back and he's awful. He looks terrible. Genuinely one of the worst pitchers in the league. Like maybe the worst when he was pitching. Him and Adam Wainwright. But I like him to at least be better than like a 7 ERA this year. I don't think we're going to see him return to 2022 Cy Young type form. But he's my X factor because I think he can return to being like a sub-4 ERA pitcher. I think he can definitely do that. His stuff has looked way better in spring training. Like the velocity is up. I think last year he was still just dealing with injuries and he had such a tough start to his Yankees career. And when the fans were booing you and shit, that can't be helpful. But I like him to at least be better than last year, which is a very low bar. He's my X factor because if Gerrit Cole's out for the year or like 2 months like they think he's going to be, they're going to need Carlos Rodon to skew closer to the last like 2021, 2022 numbers. They're going to need him to at least be league average, at least, if they want to have a pretty good pitching staff. And then the other two pitchers in this staff, Clark Schmidt and then Clayton Beater, is penciled in a rookie as their number 5 starter to open the year. Clark Schmidt, I do like Clark Schmidt's stuff quite a bit. He's a converted reliever for them. He was really good relief pitcher in 2022, and basically out of necessity, they pushed him into a starting spot last year, and he performed admirably. I think as a 4th or 5th starter, he's fine. He's fine. I like his stuff a lot. He pitched 159 innings last year, which is just a lot after pitching 57 out of the bullpen the year prior. So maybe that affected his numbers a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. They're going to need a lot of innings out of him no matter what this year. So we'll see what they get from Clark Schmidt. And then Clayton Beater is a prospect. I don't really know what to expect from him. I think there's a pretty good shot that Luis Gil starts more than Clayton Beater this year, especially if Cole misses a lot of time. At least he'll miss all of last year with Tommy John, I'm pretty sure, but looks really good in spring. By looks really good, I mean he's throwing gas again like he used to, and his stuff looks really nice. And that's the starting rotation. It's just without Cole, it's shaky. It is shaky. But the bullpen is where they could pick up the slack. This team, like I mentioned, like the Rays, Mariners, Brewers, what have you, Dodgers, they can get so much out of their bullpen. They've been really, really good at developing bullpen arms in recent years, and they're entering the year with what looks like another solid bullpen. Clay Holmes is their closer, filthy, probably going to be one of the best closers in the American League, followed by Ian Hamilton, who had a really nice year last year, someone I had no idea about until last year when I watched him. Well, I had heard of him like very briefly before that, but then last year he just looked phenomenal. Just really good stuff out of the pen. Caleb Ferguson, who I mentioned they traded for, Ron Marinaccio, Jonathan Loaisiga, or Johnny Lasagna as his nickname is, Victor Gonzalez, Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver's in this bullpen? I didn't even know that. Damn, he's been all over the place the past couple of years. But no, I think this bullpen's going to be fine, and I think I trust them again to take guys off waivers or prospects and make them into good bullpen arms. I like the back of the bullpen, and I think that'll help pick up some of the slack from this staff. But again, I'm so worried about Gerrit Cole missing time. It's not only that he's such a good pitcher. He's been him and like Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler and Logan Webb have been the most durable guys in the league the past few years. I mean, Cole has pitched how many innings in since he became a full-time starter? I mean, let's just go back. I'm looking at his page right now. 2015 and on, 208 innings, 116, 203, 200, 212, 73 in 2020. 73 in 2020, that's absurd. 181, 200, and then 209 last year in his Cy Young year. All with really good strikeout numbers. Just a crazy good pitcher. And it's just a lot of innings and production to replace, and that's what I'm worried about. And so, like, Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, who both had down years last year, are going to need to be better this year if this team wants to win a uber-competitive division. The projections love this team to win the division. I don't, I'll be honest. Their over-under is 93.5. I'm going to take the under, similar to the Orioles, where I took the over on 95 or 90.5. I think the Yankees still probably win 90, 91 games, but under 93.5. Especially after the Cole news. I was going to take that under before the Cole news, and then I saw the Cole news. Definitely taking the under. And, man, this is going to be a really tough division, really competitive. And, you know, I think the Red Sox are going to get last. I think that's not a foregone conclusion, but I think that's a healthy estimate. And then I think the Blue Jays are going to get fourth. The Orioles are going to get third. The Yankees in second. And yeah, that's right. You heard me. The Rays are winning this division in 2024. I'm calling it. No one's talking about them. Everyone's picking the Orioles or the Yankees to win this division. I'm not. I'm picking the Tampa Bay Rays. And just to recap, Red Sox over 77.5. Blue Jays over 86.5. Orioles over 90.5. Yankees under 93.5. And Rays over 84.5. So if my over-unders are correct and the order is correct, the Rays would probably win like 94 games, the Yankees like 92, the Orioles 91, the Blue Jays 88, and the Red Sox 79. That's a stupid good division. I'm looking forward to watching them, and I hope you are too. And that's it. This was the longest preview podcast. This was the meatiest division, and we're almost there. Next Friday is the Seattle Mariners preview, which will probably be this long, talking about just the Mariners. And I'm done with my divisional previews. This is the last one. I appreciate if you listen to all of them. You're an absolute madman if you listen to all of these previews of my voice, an hour and a half, talking about just naming dudes. I appreciate you listening to all of them, or even just this one if you just listen to this one, whatever. Thank you so much. I really liked doing this. I'm so excited for the season. And I hope you feel at least a little bit more informed going into the 2024 season than you were prior to listening to this. If you are, then I've done my job correct. And I really appreciate any support for the show that you can offer. So that was the AL East. And look out next Friday. It's the Seattle Mariners preview. Thank you and have a good rest of your week.